You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Sunday, November 21st, 2021. Midnight at the Oasis. A new day for Oasis Petroleum as it delivers, focuses on free cash flow. Published by Housley Carr. With the market dislocations brought on in 2020-21, many if not most E&Ps have been re-examining their strategies and making changes. A common result has been a de-emphasis on CapEx and expansion and a renewed focus on increasing free cash flow, and with that excess cash reducing or eliminating debt and rewarding shareholders through dividends and stock buybacks. A prime example of a producer taking this approach is Oasis Petroleum, a Bakken-focused E&P that a year ago this week emerged from COVID-induced bankruptcy filing and has since taken a number of additional steps to position itself as a reliable moneymaker, even if crude oil prices were to slide to significantly lower levels. In today's RBN blog, we discuss the ongoing trend among producers to rethink and rework their strategies as energy markets recover. For more than a year and a half now, we've been chronicling the often harrowing rollercoaster ride upon which producers, midstreamers, and refineries alike have found themselves. We've blogged about the big pullbacks in capital spending, the acquisitions and divestitures, the production shut-ins, and the cash hoarding. It can be dangerous to generalize, but it wouldn't be an overreach to say that the oil and gas industry is very different than it was just a couple of years ago, that the combination of the COVID shock and the ESG movement have prompted what might be called a great reassessment among investors and industry executives. No doubt, the energy world has experienced major challenges and transformations before: the energy crises of the 1970s, the shale revolution, and the 2014-15 oil price crash come to mind, but this one feels different, partly because of the dim view that many investors and lenders now hold regarding traditional energy companies. That doesn't mean that oil, gas, and NGL production will stop rebounding from pandemic lows or that E&Ps are doomed to fail. Quite the opposite, in fact. What we're saying is that, given the new and emerging realities, producers of every shape and size have been taking hard, honest looks at their long-standing strategies of grow, diversification, and, too often the case, borrow, and, after that self-reflection, deciding to make some very significant changes in how they do business. Which brings us to today's case in point: Houston-based Oasis Petroleum, which since its formation 14 years ago has concentrated primarily on oil-focused production in the Bakken. It also formed Midstream MLP, or Master Limited Partnership, Oasis Midstream Partners, or OMP, in 2017, and the following year acquired, from Forge Energy LLC for nearly $1 billion, about 20,000 acres in the core of the Delaware Basin's oil window in West Texas's Loving, Ward, and Winkler counties. For a while it seemed that everyone and his brother were expanding into the Permian, and Oasis saw its stock and cash with Forge as a diversification move that would leverage Oasis's full field development skills and drive value creation and enhance returns. It did all that, at least until the collapse of crude oil prices in the COVID spring of 2020, which left the company with more debt than it could handle. In September of last year, Oasis Petroleum filed for relief under Chapter 11 of the Federal Bankruptcy Code. OMP was not included in the filing. More on the Midstream MLP in a moment. Oasis emerged from bankruptcy on November 19, 2020, and as a result of the restructuring strengthened its balance sheet, mostly by slashing its indebtedness by $1.8 billion by issuing equity in the new Oasis to the holders of its senior unsecured notes. To put a slightly different twist on the old saying about gallows and hanging, nothing focuses the mind of a modest-sized E&P like an oil price collapse, a Chapter 11 filing, and an investment community increasingly wary of the energy sector. In the 12 months since Oasis Petroleum got a new lease on life, the company has made a series of calculated moves to further improve its post-bankruptcy financial footing, focus and simplify its operations, and make itself more attractive to Wall Street. Here are a few of the key steps it has taken so far in 2021. Number 1. In March, Oasis Petroleum announced the sale of its remaining interests in a number of OMP midstream assets, mostly gathering systems, in exchange for $229 million in cash and 14.8 million common units in the Midstream MLP. It also bought out the incentive distribution rights, or IDRs, of the general partner, or GP. Number 2. Also in March, Oasis authorized a $100 million share repurchase program. Number 3. In May, the company announced a $745 million deal to acquire about 95,000 acres in the Bakken and 27,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, or 1,000 BOE per day, from Diamondback Energy, which had just acquired the assets through its purchase of QEP Resources 2 months earlier. The Oasis Diamondback deal closed in mid-October. More on this in a second. Number 4. In June, Oasis closed on the sale of its upstream assets in the Permian for $481 million, about half what it paid for them in 2018, thereby enabling Oasis to focus its production activities exclusively on the Bakken. Number 5. Also in June, the company sold about 10% of its OMP common units and declared a $4 per share special dividend for Oasis shareholders. Number 6. In October, Oasis announced the planned merger of OMP with Crestwood Equity Partners, which upon closing in the first quarter of 2022 will provide Oasis with $160 million in cash. The deconsolidation of OMP's debt off of its books and the retention of a 22% interest in the Crestwood MLP. The net effects of these actions really boil down to this: 1. Oasis Petroleum has simplified its story and is now a Bakken-only producer. 2. Oasis's balance sheet and its shareholders have been benefiting from the March sale of its midstream holdings, the June sale of its upstream Permian assets, and the October acquisition of the Diamondback acreage and production in the Bakken, and will benefit more when the OMP Crestwood deal closes early next year. There is more to Oasis Petroleum's plan, however, and again these in many ways echo what a number of other E&Ps have been doing to reposition themselves. For example, the company has trimmed its capital spending plans to the bone, projected $184 million to $194 million for 2021, less than one-third the $610 million Oasis invested in pre-COVID 2019, and less than one-seventh the $1.40 billion plus it spent in 2014. Our understanding is that the E&P plans to maintain its Bakken production, recently boosted by more than 50%, to about 77,000 BOE per day, thanks to the Diamondback deal that closed last month, at very close to its current level in 2022 and beyond. Most impressive, perhaps, is Oasis Petroleum's cleaned up, delevered balance sheet, especially after the company completes its deconsolidation with the merger of OMP into Crestwood in early 2022. At that point, Oasis anticipates that it will have $468 million in cash and that, with only $400 million in senior notes, the company will have more liquid assets than debt. Better yet, Oasis Petroleum has been achieving further reductions in its lease operating expenses, or LOE, the cost of running its wells and related equipment, and its general and administrative, or G&A, costs. Regarding LOE, the E&P in September 2020 estimated that its 2021 liters.O.E would average $10.50 per BOE, but it now expected them to be about $1 per BOE lower. Similarly, Oasis's 2020 run rate for G&A costs was $2.15 per BOE. Its estimated G&A for the fourth quarter of 2021 is 37% lower, between $1.30 and $1.40 per BOE. All that helps increase margins. The company has indicated that it expects to generate about $500 million in free cash flow, or FCF, in 2022 based on the current forward curve, and notes that it would still be generating FCF if crude oil prices were to decline to $50 or even $45 per barrel. Also, the company has said that its valuation is comparatively cheap when looking at the ratio of FCF to enterprise value, or EV, versus its peers. There is a lot more that Oasis's management has been doing to right what for a moment there looked like a sinking ship, including on the ESG front, things like naming a new CEO, splitting the CEO and chairman roles, electing a new and more diverse board of directors, announcing a new executive compensation plan aligned with shareholders, and continuing to make progress on reducing gas flaring, still a big issue in the Bakken, although Oasis's gas capture has historically been stronger than peers. By returning to its roots as a pure-play Bakken producer, maintaining capital discipline, and eschewing growth in favor of FCF generation and maximizing returns to shareholders, Oasis seems to be on a path that other small to mid-sized producers would want to emulate. Midnight at the Oasis was written by David Nichtern. It appears as the second song on side one of Maria Muldaur's debut solo album, Maria Muldaur. Released as a single in February 1974, it went to number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. The song features some great blues guitar work from Amos Garrett. Muldaur said the tune was presented to her as an afterthought when she was finishing up the album. She has further stated that many fans over the years have told her that this song inspired romantic encounters in their lives. Personnel on the record were Maria Muldaur on vocals, David Nichtern, on acoustic guitar, Amos Garrett, on electric guitars, Mark T. Jordan, piano, Freebo, on bass, Jim Gordon, on drums, Greg Prestopino, on backing vocals, and Nick DeCaro on strings. Maria Muldaur was the debut solo studio album for Muldaur. Produced by Joe Boyd and Lenny Waronker, the LP was released in August 1973. It went to number 3 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart and has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America. Two singles were released from the album. Maria Muldaur is an American folk, blues, and pop singer. She started her career as a solo folk singer in New York City's Greenwich Village during the folk music boom of the early 1960s. She has released 7 albums as a member of other groups. As a solo artist, she has released 36 studio albums, 3 live albums, and 10 singles. Muldaur continues to perform live and record. In 2021, Muldaur released the album Let's Get Happy Together with the traditional New Orleans jazz band, Tuba Skinny.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.